I think we've spent more time on Travel with Rick Steves talking about Italy than any other country. And for good reason. And there's still plenty of Italy yet to explore. Joining us right now to introduce us to her home region in the center of that exciting country is Virginia Agostinelli. She lives in Abruzzo. It's a region known for its wilderness, its national parks, complete with eagles, bears, and even wild pigs. The mountains are rugged, with small medieval towns and barely a hint of tourism. Not far to the east are the beaches and port towns of the Adriatic, and it all starts just an hour or so east of Rome. Virginia, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for having me here.
Tell us about Abruzzo.
Abruzzo is a small region in the heart of Italy, really, but it's a really particular region in the sense that geographically it's in the center. But it is historically always been associated with the south. As a matter of fact, I would always say I'm from the south.
Really? Because it's just, it really is the middle. Do you think of Rome as the south?
No, not at all. No, because Abruzzo was always part of the kingdom of the two Sicilies.
Okay, so it was connected politically and economically to the south.
So culturally, historically, it's always been associated with the south. The kingdom of the church would kind of cut north of Abruzzo.
So Lazio, Umbria,
kingdom of the two Sicilies.
Two Sicilies.
Under Spanish domain and sometimes under French.
So you had that colonial heritage, which means really you were taken advantage of economically by a colonial power.
Yes. In fact, also in the dialects that are spoken in the region, there is a lot of influence from Spanish and from French. For instance, in the dialect of my village, the word to say street, it's ruelle from the French.
So because of your colonial heritage and your Kingdom of Two Sicilies was a colonial possession of Spain and France?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes by France, but mostly under Spanish domination.
Back and forth, Spain and France. And a lot of us go to the rich cities of Italy because we find the rich art and the rich buildings and the rich culture. Florence, Rome, Milano, Venice. Mm-hmm. I look at the map of Abruzzo and I don't recognize any of these cities. It's under the radar.
There are a lot of very small villages, and the largest city in Abruzzo is actually Pescara, which is on the coast, Adriatic coast, and it's a very strange city, very different from Florence or from Venice in the sense that it developed during the 20th century. It used to be a small village of fishermen.
So the main city there has a short history compared to Florence.
Yes. Okay. And it reflects on the architecture, which is very modern.
If I want to drive from Rome directly east to get to Pescara, how many hours would that take on the autostrada?
The highway, it's exactly that one, Rome to Pescara. It's maybe 3 hours.
3 hours.
With the highway.
Okay. And then Pescara has boats going from there.
To Croatia.
To Croatia and so on. I'm speaking with Virginia Agostinelli. We're talking about a mysterious part of Italy called Abruzzo. It has 150 miles of coastline. Is it popular for people to go to the beach? And what would you do on the beach?
What I prefer particularly is the southern part of the region for the beach. But there are also a lot of mountains. So that's the great part of the region, the great part of Abruzzo, that you can be on the beach and 1 hour you can be hiking in the mountains or in Gran Sasso.
Is there skiing?
Yes, a lot. In fact, there is Roccaraso, which is a very famous ski resort. And there is Campo Imperatore, close to L'Aquila.
Are these serious ski slopes or just kind of for beginners and people who want to be serious go to the Dolomite?
The two that I mentioned are very serious.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to go to the Dolomites to have serious skiing?
No, not at all.
What about I've heard of these natural parks where you've got lots of wildlife. And
a lot of people refer to Abruzzo as the green heart of Europe just because there are a lot of national and regional parks. The most famous are the Parco Nazionale d'Abruzzo, the National Park of Abruzzo. Then there is the National Park of the Gran Sasso, close to L'Aquila. Gran Sasso is also the highest peak on the Apennine.
The Apennines are the sort of the spine of Italy, the mountains that run up and down the Italian peninsula. I think of Italy as so densely populated and so urban, but here we have natural parks, we have wild countryside, and even wild animals?
Absolutely.
What animals would I see in Abruzzo?
Strangely enough, just a few hours away from Rome, you could have the Marsicano bear, which is also the symbol of the region.
Wild bears in Italy?
Mm-hmm.
Today?
Yes.
Is it dangerous?
The Marsicano bear. I've never met one, and I always imagine that it must be very lonely.
And what other kind of animals?
A lot of deer and wild boar, foxes.
Now, wild boar, it shows on the menu in the restaurant.
There are a lot of wild boars. In fact, there are too many. So if you do hit one with the car, you just have to call the national park and let them know, but you could keep it. And
you can keep it?
Yes.
So oops,
you could
sorry
butcher
about that. Dinner time.
Yes.
Wild boar. How do you say that in Italian?
Cinghiale.
Cinghiale. Because you see in a lot of restaurants the head of a boar on the wall.
Yeah, I think when they first started repopulating the area, they didn't calculate correctly how fast and how many wild boar would...
So there's no shortage of wild boar?
No, not at all.
Was there a big earthquake in Abruzzo recently?
Yes. In 2009, in April 2009. In fact, that was in L'Aquila, and my village is in the province of L'Aquila. It was quite strong, and it pretty much destroyed the city, which was in ruins.
How has the recovery been?
At the beginning, it seemed to be very quick. But I was there just 1 year ago, and I hear from my friend that live in L'Aquila that it's exactly as it was the following day.
So there's been little change then?
Very little, yes.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're traveling through Abruzzo, uncrowded Italy, and we're joined by Virginia Augustinelli. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Renee's calling in from New Westminster, British Columbia. Renee, thanks for your call.
Oh, hi, Rick. How are you?
We're doing well. Do you have a thought about Abruzzo for Virginia?
Well, you know, we go to Italy quite often. And my husband, Barry, he loves Italy. And he every time we go, he says, you know, we really have to drive over on the coast and just drive down. And I keep thinking, well, gee whiz, is there really good roads? Can we do that? And then we met some very nice Italian people. And, they were telling us how beautiful it is. And a lot of camping along the beaches and just wonderful.
So, Virginia, could Renee drive and explore the coastline without
any
problem?
Yes, yes. In fact, you could take the highway, which is very convenient and very efficient. But there are also other small roads that you can take so you can have a better view at the sea, their panorama. And I always, when I travel north to visit my sister that lives in northern Italy, I travel by train because the railway, it's just beautiful on the Adriatic. It's very close to the water.
If Renee wanted to stay in an agriturismo, is that a possibility in Abruzzo?
It is. It is. There are not as many as in Tuscany, but there are a few. For instance, in the region of Sulmona, which is in the center of Abruzzo, there are a lot of little villages all around the valley, and you could find several good agriturismos, very tiny.
So these agriturismos are traditional family farms that are allowing guests to come in like bed and breakfast.
Yes.
To help stay in business, because all over the world, small farms are having a tough time, so they can supplement their family interests. So Renee could just stop into a agriturismo and have a good chance to enjoy the local food and meet some local farm family.
Yes, in fact, from the coast, if you want to go to Sulmona, the place that I mentioned, it's just about 1 hour away, 1 hour west.
Renee, thanks for your call and happy travels.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're traveling through Abruzzo, uncrowded Italy. Our email address is radio@ricksteves.com. And Heather in Tolland, Connecticut, emailed us. She writes, my family's saving up for a two-month stay in Italy, and we'd love to hunker down in one location and tour the area. Abruzzo sounds perfect for all the exploring and, that we envision doing. We'd love to stay on a farm, help out, and then stretch our legs by exploring local hiking, beaches, eating local cuisine, and so on. How would we find a place for an extended stay? And what would the best way to get around be? Virginia, these people want to have a two-month stay and sort of settle in.
Mm-hmm.
How would they do that in Abruzzo? And then how would they get around?
Well, I think in Abruzzo would be the perfect place for what she mentioned. There is a lot of mountain biking tracks and also road bike, if you like. There is a beautiful street that goes up to Scanno, which is this tiny little village in the center of Abruzzo. And it has a very dramatic view of the
mountains. Scanno, how do you spell that?
S-C-A-N-N-O.
S-C-A-N-N-O. Okay, so that's a nice village, and you can do some mountain biking around there.
Yes, you could also road bike there, and there is a beautiful natural lake. And Scanno is also famous because the ex-president of Italy, Ciampi, used to hide in Scanno when he was a partisan during the war.
Oh, because that was just remote and hidden away up in the mountains. Now, a partisan would be a communist fighting the fascist Mussolini, is that right?
Yes and no, not necessarily. The partisans were a guerrilla army strongly financed by the Allies.
To fight Mussolini?
Yes.
Who was the fascist leader?
Yes.
Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Dale's on the line in Blacklick, Ohio. Dale, thanks for your call.
Thank you. My wife's grandparents were natives of Abruzzo, specifically Ona, a small town outside L'Aquila. They came over through Ellis Island, and we were privileged in 1996 to go over and visit some of the relatives. And we stayed in L'Aquila, right in a hotel on the square there, and went to Ona, the little village, and just really enjoyed that area. And we're just wondering, if we go back, what would be a good central place, Virginia, to stay to enjoy the culture and the environment around Abruzzo.
Yeah, I know Anna very well. It's very close to L'Aquila. And, Pacentro is my village. It's about 1 hour away from Onna. It's a very tiny village with a beautiful medieval castle, about 800 people. And it is close to a larger, bigger city, which is Sulmona, 30,000 people. And that would be, to me, an ideal place to stay.
Pacentro. P-A-C-E-N-T-R-O. Pacentro.
Okay. Yes. And there are several agriturismos. It's very affordable and very beautiful. And there's one restaurant in particular, which is one of the best restaurants of Italy in such a small village. And it is quite worth it to give it a try.
Okay.
Now, Dale, you visited before the earthquake. The earthquake hit in
09.
And how has the earthquake affected Ona, and what is it like today, do you know?
It did. It did affect Ona. In fact, I think Ona was one of the villages that was affected the most by the earthquake, yes.
My wife lost a relative over there.
Yeah. Mm. I heard a lot about Ona during
are
the...
Are they rebuilding Virginia?
Well, there was a lot of financial support, but because of bureaucracy, little of that support actually ended up where it was supposed to be. And the reconstruction is still very, very slow. Actually, I drove through L'Aquila just about a year ago, and it still seemed as if they didn't do much.
So it's just like time has stopped there from a reconstruction point of view.
Unfortunately, yes.
The fountains are so beautiful in L'Aquila.
True. It's also called the city of the 99 fountains.
99 fountains. Virginia, if Dale was going back to his family's homeland and he wanted to enjoy the cuisine of the region, I know the pasta, the saffron, the confetti, the sugared almonds.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yes, Abruzzo is very famous for pasta. In fact, the Cecco pasta, the kind of blue and yellow package that I'm sure everybody has seen, is from Abruzzo.
Okay.
There is a small village that's called Fara San Martino, where apparently the water is particularly good, because pasta, it's really just flour and water. So,
if it's not the flour, it must be the water.
So
some beer makers say it's the water, and for a pasta maker, it can be the water.
It can be the water.
And what about the saffron?
The saffron, there is a saffron from Navelli, which is a plateau close to L'Aquila, up in the mountain. It's a very rare quality of saffron, very rich, very different from the Spanish saffron, very intense, and it's used a lot in the cuisine of Milan for the risotto alla milanese.
Oh, so they import their saffron from Abruzzo?
Yes, they do.
Milano, in the north?
Yes, in the north, in Lombardy.
And then the sugar almond cookies?
The sugared almond cookies are called confetti, and it's this special cookie that is used for occasions such as weddings or special celebrations. And again, the preparation is very simple. It's just sugar and almond, but yet they are delicious.
Dale, I hope that gives you some ideas. I hope you can go back and visit.
Can I ask one more quick question?
Sure.
Medieval fortifications and relics and castles, would we be able to experience that historical aspect?
There are plenty. So pretty much every village has a castle. In fact, the village that I mentioned earlier, Pacentro, has a gorgeous castle from the 12th century that is still almost intact. At least the main tower, it's almost intact.
We will put these details, by the way, in the radio section at ricksteves.com so our listeners can get the spelling of these beautiful places that Virginia is talking about. Dale, thanks for your call, and, okay. And this is quite inspirational. It makes me really want to go explore Abruzzo.
Thank you very much, both of you.
Take care.
Thank
you. Bye now.
So I didn't know Abruzzo was famous for its pasta. What else is Abruzzo famous for?
Well, the confetti and also the particular dish is the pecora al cotturo. Because there are a lot of mountains, so there used to be a lot of shepherds. And this cotturo, it's a specific cooking pot that the shepherd, it's large enough for one sheep. So it's very
simple. A cooking pot for one sheep?
Yes.
That sounds like a feast for the whole village.
It is. But the shepherd would get a sheep, butcher it, put it in this cotturo, in this pot, and then they would eat it with the other shepherds in the area for 1 day, 2 days, it depends. So it's a very simple dish, simple preparation, poor dish, but it takes forever to prepare because the sheep, it has a lot of fat, so it has to boil in water for maybe 8 hours, 9 hours, so that it cleans it up a little bit.
Oh yeah, you want to do that when you're eating a whole sheep.
Yes.
And then when you think about Abruzzo, it just seems like rough and tumble, almost like the Wild West.
In fact, a lot of scenes from the Spaghetti Western were shot there just because there were a lot of mountains, a lot of space. It was cheaper, of course, and it was close to Rome.
What's your favorite Spaghetti Western?
Well, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, of
course. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yes.
Right. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been exploring Abruzzo, learning a lot. It's just 2 hours from Rome. Thank you, Virginia Agostinelli. If we're going to finish with some image of Abruzzo, where would you take me? What would we see? What would we eat? What would we smell?
There is a mountain that it's called the Maiella. It always gives me this sense of peace when it has the snow and it's so calm. It looks like a giant that just it's just laying there and resting for who knows how long, for the eternity.
A sleeping giant. What is the name?
Maiella. M-A-J-E-L-L-A.
And you would travel there and you would look out and you would see your state of Abruzzo.
Yes.
So you're standing on this beautiful place surrounded by Abruzzo.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me something that would touch the soul of an Abruzzo person that would think or say when they're at this place.
Abruzzo people are very simple in the sense that they're very modest, very humble. In fact, we say in Italy that people of Abruzzo have a nature that is strong and gentle.
Strong and gentle.
There was this lady that I saw on TV that was rescued during the earthquake. In fact, she was 98, and she stayed in her house for about 30 hours or so. And I remember her on TV where the journalist asked her, "So what did you do? Did you pray? Were you praying?" And she just looked at the journalist as if he were crazy, and she said, "What did I do? I was knitting. I was working, of course. What else could I be doing?"
So she was knitting. Yeah.
She was 98 years old and she was just, she couldn't move. Because
she was doing her work as the whole world was falling around
and
her.
And she answered as if it was the most natural thing that she would have been doing there.
98 years old.
And that's the soul to me of the Abruzzo person. Strong and gentle. Forte e gentile.
Di Abruzzi.
Sì.
Virginia Agostinelli, mille grazie.
Grazie a te.
Sono venuto ad amare e di nascosto a danzare.
Once Julian Brown set foot in Vietnam, he knew he'd be back again and again. Julian recommends places to immerse yourself in the cultures of Southeast Asia. Next on Travel with Rick Steves.